You would forgive easier. You'd trust more. You would extend more grace. You would lead better. You would be a better witness. You would praise Him more. You would be more of His representation. You would even grieve differently. And you would shine more. Almost anything can happen with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, before I talk about that today, I want to just remind you of the wonderful team of people we have volunteering here. I want you to look at this picture. We had our volunteer banquet dinner Thursday night, and I think that picture's coming. And this is probably only about two-thirds. Well, you'll see a big picture in just a minute. Look at that. There's probably a third more volunteers that make things happen around here. But that was pretty weak. Let's give them a bigger round of applause for that. We just had a great time just honoring them. And those of you that weren't able to make it, we do it once a year. And it's just our pleasure to thank you for all that you've done. We're going to go ahead and release our students now. They're going to the Student Center with their leaders. If you are 6th grade to 12th grade, feel free to get up right now and kind of make your way to the other building. And we're not glad to see you go, but we're happy that you're able to meet over there. We really are. If you're visiting today, it'd be a great place for your student. It'd be a great place for them to have meet friends and maybe even recognize people that they already know. But God's moving among our young people. He's moving upon our children, and He's moving upon our adults. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday, a day that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a big day in the history of the church. I want us to remember that landmark, earth-shattering, life-changing event. Right before Jesus was taken up into heaven, we read this in Acts 1, 3 through 8. During the 40 days after He suffered and died, Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time. He proved to them in many ways that He was actually alive. And He talked to them about the kingdom of God. And once while He was eating with them, He commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He's promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, "Lord, is this the time for You to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Isn't that typical of us? When God says He's going to do something, we want to narrow Him down to what we think ought to be done. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those days and times. They're not for you to know." He said that much nicer than I would have. I would have said, none of your business. That's not for you to know. But Jesus, being Jesus, said, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere in Jerusalem," which is home, "throughout Judea," which is a little farther away, "in Samaria," a little farther away, "and to the ends of the earth." The Message version sums it: what you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be able to be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. We're going to read a fair amount of scripture this morning, but it's important that we kind of watch this as it plays out. We know from scripture that 120 people were in the upper room. They were there not knowing for sure if that's the day the gift was going to come. But they were being obedient, and they were there. And they were waiting. And we pick up in Acts 2, starting in verse 1. Excuse me. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force, and no one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks. And they started speaking in a number of different languages. And as the Spirit prompted them. And there were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. But when they heard the sound, they came on the run. When they'd heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't, for the life of them, figure out what was going on. And they kept saying, aren't those Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our mother tongues? They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. You know what that tells me? That God will speak to you in words that you'll understand. He will. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head nor tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked, they must be drunk on cheap wine. That's when Peter stood up and was backed by the other 11. He spoke out with bold urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I think I am in the category of dreaming dreams now. But when the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men, women, both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke and the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives. The day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help will be saved. He continues, fellow Israelites, listen carefully to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, he's reminding them, a man thoroughly accredited by God to you. The miracles and wonders and signs that God did through him are common knowledge. This Jesus, following the deliberate and well thought out plan of God, was betrayed by men who took the law into their own hands and was handed over to you. And you pinned him to a cross and you killed him. But God untied the death ropes and raised him up. Death was no match for him. David said it all. I saw God before me of all time. Nothing can shake me. He's right by my side. I'm glad from the inside out, ecstatic. I love this rhyme. I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. Boy, that is a message there, isn't it? I have pitched my tent in the land of hope. I know you'll never dump me in Hades. I'll never smell the stench of death. You've got my feet on the life path. With your face shining, sun joy all around. Dear friends, let me be frank with you. Our ancestor David is dead and buried. His tomb is in plain sight today. But being also a prophet and knowing that God had solemnly swore that a descendant of his would rule his kingdom, seeing far ahead, he talked of the resurrection of the Messiah. No trip to Hades, no stench of death. This Jesus, God raised up. And every one of us here is a witness to that. Then he raised to the heights at the right hand of God, receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, and he poured out the Spirit he just received. That's what you see and hear. For David himself didn't ascend to heaven, but he did say, God said to my master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool resting for your feet. All of Israel, then know this. There's no longer room for doubt. God made him master and Messiah, this Jesus who you killed on a cross. He didn't mince any words with those that were there. If you remember, some of the crowd that were celebrating Jesus coming into Jerusalem that weekend were some of the same that cried, crucify him, when they were given a choice, a chance to let him go. Or let a convicted murderer go. So that's why Peter was talking so pointedly to them. Cut to the quick, he continues. Those who were listening asked Peter and the other apostles, brothers, brothers. So now what do we do? In other words, we're in a fix now. Yeah, what you said is true. We did that. Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to those that are far away. We are some of those that were far away. whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. He went on in this vein for a long time, urging them over and over again, get out while you can, get out of this sick and stupid culture. That day, about 3,000 took him at his word and were baptized and were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, the prayers. Everyone was in awe. All of those wonders and signs done through the apostles, they were in awe. And all the believers lived in wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned, pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. I love this last line. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. Now that's some power, isn't it? That is some power. The power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we started this month talking about family and specifically our role in the family and our behavior in the family, our responsibility and our leadership in the family. And it's not only just the family, it's the people that we influence. And we talked about two different kinds of spiritual leadership, of leadership so far, spiritual leadership and nurturing leadership, the leadership of nurturing. But today, part three is empowering leadership. As we just read in the book of Acts, there is an empowering available for every believer. It's a gift. It's free. It's available. And it's awesome. But what is it for? Let me remind you, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in your home, in throughout Judea, a little farther out, and in Samaria, a little farther out, and to the ends of the earth. See, what we are honing our skills on in our very home is what God wants to use us in a bigger setting. The gift of the Holy Spirit is to equip and enable us to build the kingdom of God here on this earth. Amen. It's a gift that will empower you to influence others for Jesus. And listen, this building starts at home. This building starts with the ones that God has given us influence with. He is not going to send you immediately to the foreign mission field for you to do something for Him if you've not been able to do it right where you are. Okay. Listen, contrary to popular belief, being baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't make you an elite Christian. But it does give you access to earth-shattering power, power from above. The baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you to do more than you could ordinarily do. You know, I often compare what the baptism in the Holy Spirit does to us is like nitrous oxide does to a race car. Those of you who don't watch the Motor Trend or the Velocity Channel might not know anything about this. But there's a car speeding down the road, seemingly really, really fast. But when the nitrous oxide button is released, there's a new and more powerful, unbelievable thrust that makes the car to do more than ever expected. Think about the day that the power of the Holy Spirit was released upon God's people. Amazing things happened. And the end result, as we've read, that many were added to the way of Jesus because of that power. In fact, that was the official birth of the New Testament church. So today, we're actually celebrating the church's birthday. I want you to think about the thrust of power that the baptism of the Holy Spirit can give you right where you are today. Today, as you lead your family. Today, as you influence those that God brings in your path. Today, as you go about doing good. Listen, this power is not for power's sake. It's power with a purpose. The purpose is for the kingdom of God. It's not to make you wealthy. It's not to make you popular. It's not to make you successful. It's not to make you a better person. It's not for selfish gain. It is to build the kingdom of God. I want you to think about it this way. The power of the Holy Spirit is to go. The power of the Holy Spirit is to do. The power of the Holy Spirit is to show. The power of the Holy Spirit is to share. The power of the Holy Spirit is to build God's kingdom right here on this earth. If the gift of the Holy Spirit was powerful enough to launch and propel the church into existence, think about its potential in your family. Think about its potential in your relationships. Think about its potential in your influence. Think about its potential in your daily life living for Jesus. It's not this weird thing that happened. It is kind of strange. I can understand that it caught everybody's attention. But listen, normalcy doesn't catch people's attention. God moves how he wants to move. He disrupts when he wants to disrupt. He is loud when he wants to be loud. He is God and can do anything he wants. So in the natural sense, yeah, it's kind of strange. But in the spirit realm, it's not at all. If you remember, the power of God spoke the world into existence. That's powerful if you can speak a world into existence, that you can speak people into existence, that you can speak seas and heavens and all that stuff into existence just by your words. Launching the church into a new existence was so important, and we're a part of that. But launching our family into a new existence is important too. Launching those that we have influence over into a new existence is so important too. Now, this power that we're talking about, mentioned in the book of Acts, comes from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis represents the kind of power that is an inherent force. It flows from a person to give them the ability to do supernatural things like miracles or morally excellent acts. Listen, if it wasn't able to do more than our power in the natural, it's of no value. But the power of the Holy Spirit enables us, it gives us a new thrust. Dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. What happened that day, described in the book of Acts, can only be attributed to this kind of power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to do supernatural things. What if we tapped into that kind of power as we lead and influence others? What if we tapped into that kind of power regularly as we lived our life? Think about what could happen. Think about the lives that could be changed all around us. Think about this. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are ill-equipped and can easily be overwhelmed with the needs of those in our life. We can easily become overwhelmed. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, that dunamis power, we get all we need to accomplish everything that God has for us to do. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete, our comforter, our companion, our advocate. And here he is. Almighty God says, I will give this to you. And if you will use this power the way I want you to use it, the kingdom of God on earth will be built. What if we were to use that gift as we lead and guide our families? What if we were to use that gift as we lead and guide other people that God has brought into our realm of influence? What if we were able to use this dunamis power from God everywhere we go. So you can. I think we would see explosive results, don't you? I think we'd see the dunamis power of God manifested all around us. And listen, He can do miracles through us. In fact, the charge that we have is to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That's not something you can do. I've met most all of you, and I think you're a gifted people, but you can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to use us right where we are. Amen. We spend so much energy trying to get out of the situation we're in into the next one because we're convinced that the next one is not going to have any problems. Well, let me be the forebearer of bad news. You're going to have trouble. And wherever you go, there'll be trouble. But when we hit something that's bigger than we are, or there's a demand being placed on our life that is bigger than what we can do, guess what? We have at our access the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He freely gives it to you. I found that one of my prayers that I pray daily is, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Now, some theologians would say, well, you got bad theology because you already asked Him to do it. Listen, I leak. And maybe you do. You know, we can get in the world and we can be affected by the world and we can find that the Spirit, the power of God is diminished in our life. And guess what? God's power hasn't diminished. It materializing through your life has. And if we've asked Him to fill us up with His power, He'll do it. He will do it. But it's going to take faith that you're going to believe that He did it. Sometimes you'll get some manifestations. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can certainly speak in tongues. That flips people out. I had a coworker years and years and years ago. He heard that I believed in that. And he says, do it for me, do it for me, do it for me. I said, I am not going to do it for you. That is between me and God. But God, you can. People get all weirded out about that. But I want to tell you that God wants to use you in the things that you can't understand. Think about that. He wants to use us beyond our logic. You know, when you ask God, Jesus, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can do that today, you may find yourself just speaking fluently in a language you've never learned. I've met many people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that tongues didn't come real quick. And God's God. Sometimes we're in the way. Sometimes God just wants you to trust Him and believe for those things. But I don't want you to hang a theology on tongues. Tongues are important and they build up the inner man. But I want you to major on the fact that God wants to pour out everything He has on you. And He has provided that and proof of that in His Word. That if you ask for it, He will not withhold any good thing from you. Why would He withhold His power from you? He won't. I think we would, if we were walking in the fullness of the things of the Spirit, I think we see explosive results all around us. Today, I want you to think very clearly about your responsibility to do your part in growing the kingdom of God on this earth. You are here for a purpose. You are in God's kingdom for a purpose. And it's not just to take up a seat. It's not just to be just quietly communing with God. That's important. But if it stops there, you're not much good for him here. And he has commissioned us to go. He has commissioned us to do. He has commissioned us to show. He has commissioned us to share. And when you know that, you'll find yourself relying on the Holy Spirit in ways you never thought you could. Amen. Jesus wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He wants it. He wants that for every single one of his children. Why? Because that's what gives you the power gifts. That's when you can really begin to do the stuff that he says that you're going to do. Amen. In fact, that's what's going to allow you to do the greater things that Jesus talked about. I'm not going to do things greater than what Jesus did right here on this earth without some kind of power. I need the Holy Spirit nitrous oxide that would propel me and thrust me into leading the pack. Amen. And I'm not leading for my sake. Amen. We're leading for kingdom's sake. Yes. The Holy Spirit is a free gift that we get to use to do our part in the growing the kingdom of God here on the earth. As we think about our responsibility to lead our family, as we think about our responsibility to lead those that God has brought within our influence, think about your need for the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that empowering leadership that you could provide for your family, for those that look to you, for the kingdom of God. Think about that empowering leadership, that we're not passively telling you these things about sweet Jesus. We are aggressively and boldly declaring that yes, the world turned their back on him, but God raised him from the dead. And now he's sitting at the right hand of our Father. And the Bible says that he does intercession for us. And he has said, I want you to carry on. I think that it's important that we understand the validity to invite God to empower you with the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you to do that. You can do it in a prayer right here today. You can do it in your quiet time, wherever it is. But I encourage you to make as a part of your daily communication with God, oh God, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. I know you did it yesterday, but I messed around and leaked a little. I don't want to leak. I don't want to be half full. I don't want to be lower in what you're the capacity that you have created me for. Fill me afresh. Fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord. And of course, the Bible tells us that he will come and he will fill your cup to overflowing. When I think about a cup overflowing, we think about it in a negative sense. Sometimes I'll be pouring something on our, we got this little kind of portable island right next to the fridge, and I'll quickly pour some tea and it'll overflow and I'll have to clean it up and the dogs will lick it up and all that stuff. But when we think about overflowing from God's point of view, I want you to think about this. God has filled us up to overflowing so much that it's over our brim. It is falling all around, and people that come near will be all in it. Amen. Isn't that good? We pulled up to the post office the other day, and there's just one point that's kind of low in the parking lot. It had rained the day before, and it was a great parking spot, though, and I'm not going to give up a great parking spot just because it's got a little bit of water. And I was getting in. Susan was waiting in the car, and I got in, and, you know, I just stepped right in, and I didn't care. I felt like I wanted to stomp in it, but I didn't do that. But when you think about people coming around you, and there's some overflow in your life, how good it is. It didn't hurt my shoes one little bit. And we worry about being too much for God sometimes, that we won't be accepted. Well, let me burst your bubble. You are going to be persecuted for God. You're going to be persecuted for your stand with Jesus. But why wouldn't we stand for Him? He stood for us. Isn't that right? I want to challenge you today. If you've never asked Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, that you do it. You don't need someone to lay hands on you. Susan was baptized in the Holy Spirit in her room by herself without anybody else praying. And it was so real, nothing the enemy could ever do could convince her that Jesus didn't do it. Okay. Bottom line, we've had services where we lay hands on people and they receive the Holy Spirit. Listen, God can do it anyway. He created you without any help, didn't He? He can certainly baptize you in the Holy Spirit without someone else involved. So I want you to, as a discipline, if you find that you are hungering for more, and I can tell you that just regular Christianity, if you want to go on with God, you are not going to be satisfied with less than more. But Jesus wants to baptize you in His Holy Spirit. And He doesn't want it to do it so you'll have one more badge on you. But He wants you to grow the kingdom with power. He wants you to take this empowered gift of the Holy Spirit and use it for God's good. And listen, I want to remind you, what could happen if God pours out His Spirit on you? You would love better. You would forgive easier. You would trust more. You would extend more grace. You would lead better. You would be a better witness. You would praise Him more. You would even grieve better, if there is a thing. You would even grieve better because the Comforter has baptized you. And you would certainly share more. I don't know why you wouldn't want this power stuff. We want power in every arena of our life. More horsepower under the hood. More authority in our businesses. More power among your friends. Why wouldn't we want more power from Jesus? The one that made you. The one that created you. The one that has a great plan for your life. The one that wants to use you beyond anything that you'll ever, ever even dream up. He will do more than you can dream up through you. And He does it not by forcing you, but by loving you. And the power of the Holy Spirit is another act of love. Those 120 people were standing in a room, scared to death, not sure what was going to happen. They were probably the next ones to be killed in their mind because of their stance with Jesus. No one liked them. The culture was turning against them. And God poured out something in their midst that they couldn't explain. Poured out the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was so noisy in that room that people in the city heard it. It was so noisy right there that everybody around knew something was going on, and it was surely a carryover from a drunken party of the night before. But no, it's Jesus pouring out His power among His people. It's Jesus giving the gift of the Holy Spirit to His people, and we can receive that today. If you've never, ever asked Him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, let me challenge you, do it. It's one of the best decisions I ever made. It really is. God is able to use you in places you never thought possible because of His power. And when we recognize His power, we yield to it. When we yield to His power, guess what? He does the stuff. We don't do the stuff anymore. We're just a vessel. We're just a conduit. We are just a tool that Jesus uses. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And He wants us to speak as boldly as Peter. He wants us to call it like it is, but give people hope. Peter was ready to bash them, but he wanted to give them hope. He said, yeah, all this stuff happened. You did it. But Jesus is alive. Jesus will baptize you. And the kingdom of God grew. And that should be the fruit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not the crazy stuff, although crazy is good. God does a lot of crazy. But the building of the kingdom of God here on this earth, if you see, that's what happened in that move. Those 120 people were let loose on the world. One day, 3,000 people. And it just didn't stop on a Sunday. He said, well, let's do it. We'll do it again next Sunday. No, every day there was something happening. They were thinking about the power that God had given them, and they were seeing others come to Jesus. Listen, we can't convince anybody to come to Jesus. Our words won't do anything, but the power of the Holy Spirit can convict sin. The power of the Holy Spirit can cause people to be hungry. The power of the Holy Spirit can make something happen that you never thought was possible. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. So I want us to pray. And I want you to think about what we've talked about. Think seriously about the power, the thrust for the kingdom that the baptism of the Holy Spirit will do for you. And they will be part of a mighty army. You won't be satisfied to be a seat saver anymore. You won't be satisfied just to hang on to the corner of something. No. When He pours out His Spirit on you, and He pours out that power, that dunamis power, that wonder-working power, you won't be satisfied just to sit on the sidelines. No, you'll put me in, coach. Put me in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. No, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm ready to go. Give me something. Just give me one little thing I can do. You can be bat boy. I'll take it. I'll be a bat boy for the things of God. It's an action. And then before you know it, you're coaching the pitcher. Before you know it, you're managing the team. Before you know it, you're owning the team. Before you know it, you're in the World Series. And guess what? The kingdom of God takes a big increase when we win things for the kingdom. And you can't do it without power. You can be tossed to and from, but you can't accomplish what you've been created to accomplish without the power of the Holy Spirit. So I challenge you, every single one of you, those that are watching, those that will be watching at a different time, a later time, I challenge you to think about the gift that God has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.